This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Robert just got back from his business lunch. Or was it a businesswoman's lunch? What's the line from the whatever? I don't know.
You hit that girl.
We are back with Rulaska Thoughts for Drag Race Season 16, Episode 9, titled, See You Next Wednesday. The movie I'm talking about is the high school reunion, Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
And where they lie and say they invented post-it notes?
Yes. I remember, like, I don't remember which one's which, but one of them, their dream is to be, like, they're going to say they're a businesswoman. And their dream is to say, did you just say something just a minute right now?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I got a text from you on the Riverside. It says just a minute.
I sent that like 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I just saw it right now.
When I was on my Ladies Who Lunch business meeting.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Rulaska Thoughts. People, go watch Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Anyway, go.
It's a drag classic.
It's a classic. It's a gay camp classic. But we are going to talk about several things. We have a lot to discuss. We have a correction to make.
Oh.
We're going to talk about the latest episode. We're going to talk about UK versus the world too. Lot to discuss. But first of all, let's welcome to the show the one, the only, the very business, the very talented, the very handsome, Mr. I almost said beautiful, Roberto Mata. Hello, Robert.
Am I not beautiful?
Well, I don't know. I don't know where you kind of to me seem to me you present as male. But do you ever go? Do you ever use the she/her pronouns for yourself?
Well, ever since I first heard a gay refer to another gay in she/her pronouns, I was like, yeah, why wouldn't we do that? Yeah. And even in college, when we started that whole like, you know, everyone go around the circle and say your pronouns. Mm-hmm. Even though I am very cisgendered, I think mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. Quite confident. I don't mind any pronouns, but maybe that's cis privilege, actually.
You know, I'm the same way, except I will tell you this, and this is for me, you know, preferred pronouns, all pronouns except they, them. And it has nothing to do with anything except I get really confused with they, them. So, like, what's really weird, though, is, for instance, you know, we had a guest on the show this week, Jimmy Anti. That's Jimmy's drag name. I know Jimmy's real name. And I can go effortlessly between them. I don't know why. And correctly use Jimmy's drag name when it's supposed to be used and use Jimmy's real name when that's supposed to be used. No problem. And even with pronouns, she, her, he, him, ze, zay, but they, them, man, that one gives me trouble. I always forget and I fuck it up. And so I don't know what that is.
Well, I think that most Americans, at least, which is really all I can speak to, are probably used to associating they, them with a plural, and therefore considering an individual they, them is not immediately the way they link the language, even though we do use they, them to indicate non-gender, non-specific people in sentences all the time. But I think it's when your mind is generating a sentence to use a singular pronoun, they, them isn't in that word box or pool quite as much.
We have a lot to discuss today, Robert. First of all, we are going to start things out with a correction. I saved the correction for Rulaska Thoughts, not the regular show, because I just figured it was more appropriate. Like, I'm not going to stop the show to talk about a correction. But on the show, on the Snatch Game episode, now I'm going to tell you the story of this correction, actually, believe it or not. So what happened was, I get this email. I'm going to read it to you right now. Hi, Joe, Lori, and the rest of the group. I think Lori has to hand in her comedian card. Do you believe that Kira Sedgwick was not impersonating Madeleine Kahn from Young Frankenstein because of the German accent? But Kira Sedgwick was doing an impression of Madeline Kahn singing I'm Tired, quoting the song line for line in another Mel Brooks film, Blazing Saddles. The reason for the Madeline Kahn's German accent in Blazing Saddles is that her character, Lily von Stupp, is a parody of Marlene Dietrich, specifically parodying her role in the 1939 Western Destry Rides Again. Then the email goes on. So I get this email, right? And I'm immediately furious at Lori. Furious! Because Lori has a tendency to double or triple down on information she may or may not have had, right? If she knows a little bit of something, even if she could be wrong, she'll triple down. She doesn't quadruple down. She doesn't give a shit, right?
Okay.
So when I talk to Lori next, I say, listen, we got this email. And it says XYZ. And she said, well, I only said it was Young Frankenstein because you said it was Young Frankenstein. And I go, why would I say I've never seen Young Frankenstein. I've never seen Blazing Saddles. I've never really seen any. I've seen Spaceballs.
Like, you've never seen Blazing Saddles? That sounds surprising to me.
Yeah. So I go, why would I say that? And then I went back and listened. Well, I didn't even go back and listen. I have transcripts. I typed in Young Frankenstein in the transcript, the search. There it is. I say she's doing Madeline Kahn from Young Frankenstein. Why the fuck did I say that? I've never seen these movies. Why did I say that, Robert?
I have no idea.
So I am
taking Lori training
the blame.
At ESP?
Maybe. I'm taking the shared blame. It's still, look, I still blame Lori partially. 50-50 blame, because she did triple down on this, you know, even though, what do I know? I'll say 60-40, mostly me. But anyway, there's the correction. And I got several emails about this. So all of you, I give you guys credit. Christopher was the one that first emailed me. So I am giving him the email that I'm reading. But I got several messages from people who were very offended that, you know, actually the other emails correctly said that both Lori and I got it wrong because I said Young Frankenstein. Okay, Robert, why don't we just stop right there? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do an early break? We're going to take an earlier break than usual. And we come back. We are going to talk about all the topics, everything we have to do about this episode, UK versus the world, yada, 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 all that. We'll be back right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And we are back with Roberto Mata. We are going to talk about, what I kind of want to talk about right here are some issues that sort of came up on the podcast, points I didn't finish, stuff like that. Now, I want to get your thoughts, Robert, before we talk about special things from the episode.
Hopefully not on Kira Sedgwick, because I've just heard that name for the first time last week, and I feel like it's been blasted in my ears for several times since.
Oh, you had never heard of Kira Sedgwick before last week?
No, but you know, I'm not really a big celebrity person, so
yeah,
it's not my thing.
Yeah. Robert's used to being the celebrity.
That's so dumb. Yeah, me and my 200 Instagram followers.
So before we do anything, what did you think of the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, Robert? A U.S. flagship season. Season 16, episode 9.
Well, I watched it lovingly on a Sunday afternoon, like I've developed a new habit to do. Yeah. And maybe this is my millennial experience speaking, but my understanding of goth and gothic might be a little out of touch with the way that it's now presented, at least through the lens of drag race and queer culture. So I think I felt a little dated and maybe a little... I had to challenge myself when I kept wanting to say that looks not goth, very goth to me. I could never see a goth girl wearing that. Like, none of these things are goth. But then I had to think to myself, well, first of all, I was certainly by no means a goth in high school. So what the fuck do I know, really, apart from what I've seen?
People don't know this. He was girth. And I don't want to say why.
In high school, yeah, you would. Yeah.
In high school, they were like, they knew. They were like, well, they saw you in the locker room.
You know, interestingly enough, I have never really had locker room experiences like that. Like,
oh, really?
I didn't have PE in high school, so I never had to do the whole locker room thing. That wasn't a part of my puberty journey. But
okay.
Yeah, I think that my version of goth is just not what was being shown on television. And I think that I prefer my version of goth, to be honest with you.
Well, look, I feel they gave themselves some wiggle room by saying neo-goth. I have not met anyone who knew this term before, who used this term. And so everybody was like, "What has told me, unless there's somebody who really does know, well, what is neo-goth? And that's why they were saying, like, Q wasn't goth. And I was like, well, what does neo-goth mean?
Neo is the most...
New? Yeah.
pseudo-intellectual term that you can slap onto any word and make it sound elevated.
You know like, what else I think is? I think there's two other terms, too. They're not words, though. Postmodern.
Of course.
And Kafka-esque.
Well, everything's Kafka-esque, mamas.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, so I'm telling you, Robert, I need to get a line producer who is here, present, during the recordings, and cuts in and tells me, Joe, you didn't finish this point or something like that. Because nothing is more frustrating when I listen to the show and I go, I started a point, I never fucking finished the point. And that happened two or three times in this episode. And so I need someone to go like, Joe, you never finished the point. What? The point I didn't finish, the big point I didn't finish, we can talk about this, is I started this thing on the podcast where I said, you know, with the exception of some seasons, the right winner always is the right winner. Actually, Jeremy argued with me about this because I said season 2, 9, and 12.
Yeah, I don't know why you said 12.
Well, he didn't know why I said 2.
Yeah, I would agree with that also, to be honest.
He goes, you know, you and I are supposed to in the future cover season 2. And I told him, I go, listen, I haven't watched season 2 since, and I'll share this now. I watched season 2 when it first aired. I was so fucking angry when Tatiana got eliminated that I never finished the season. I've never watched the last couple episodes of season 2. And so, because I hated Tyra so much. I thought Tyra was a complete bitch. And so I have that, you know, I've talked about in the show several times. It's the new, what's the thing I always say about the finale that you get mad at?
That. I don't know. So many things. That when RuPaul comes out, you get a tear in your eye. Yeah. When Sasha Velour's rose petals fell, you stood up and cheered like a bro at a football game. Yeah. Nasha Lopez was running around looking 4 feet tall and you can't stand her. Yes. They always even out the audience applause in the edit.
That's what it is. Okay. So the new even out the audience applause is that the show is dead to me and I have no favorites.
That is your favorite narrative this season, for sure.
So to show that is I still from season 2, I think I might get back. When we cover season 2, I think that might go out the window because I just still have such strong hatred for Tyra.
That's, you know, crazy.
Such a Tatiana fan.
I mean, it's common. You know, she is the most reviled winner for several reasons, good and bad. But it's crazy to me that I've never had that kind of hatred for her, so it's interesting to see it in others.
So anyway, so he said season 2 Tyra clearly was way ahead of the pack. He said season 1 is more debatable. He agreed on 9 and 12. Give me the argument on 12.
I think Jada was absolutely the winner of that season. I think that I hate when Sherry Pie is included in that conversation because everyone likes to add on to the drama of her disqualification by saying, yeah, the background tea is that she was going to be made the winner. First of all, no one fucking knows that. They just say that. it's just gay gossip that, you know, elevates the silly narrative.
I don't know if you saw the interview with Heidi in Closet. Heidi didn't say she'd be the winner, but Heidi was saying it from a more negative standpoint, that it was very clear to the cast that Sherry was a favorite of the producers.
I can definitely believe that, but yeah. I don't think that means that she was going to be the winner.
Yeah.
And that's the idea that the gay community has run aground.
But don't you think that Gigi...
Ugh.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But Gigi did very well. And I think maybe she didn't win because of the whole cheating allegations. Or do you think she would have won, that Jada still would have won despite those cheating allegations?
I think Jada had a lot more class and a lot more quality in her drag and a lot more perspective. And Gigi was a kid trying on clothes, calling it fashion when they were costumes, and then saying stupid shit like, I don't engage in politics. It was just like the strangest, most privileged bullshit to ever say.
Well, look, here's the deal. Ultimately, and I'm going to pull a Robert here, is my point was, not actually, it was not my big point. My general point was that the right people generally land up either the winner, or I should even say in the finals, okay? And because, and the point when I was, if I were to finish it, where to I have finished it, mm-hmm. it had to do with Plasma, which Plasma was never going to be in the finals. Okay. We just know this. She was just never going to be there. Whether she went home fifth or not or whatever.
The edit definitely did not seem to be portraying that. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm like, I know people are upset Plasma went home, but does it really matter too much unless they should be or should have been in the finals? Whether they're eliminated or not, it has to do with what you're really quibbling about is the order in which they do go home. And that was the point I was supposed to make, was at the end of the day, whether Plasma goes home before Maya or Maya goes home before Plasma or who goes behind so-and-so, does it really matter?
I would say yes, because the longer a person lasts in a competition, the more episodes you get with them. I realize we like to make fun of the fact that once a queen is eliminated, there's always this whole sentimental eulogy that gets made as if they died. But I guess for the all intents and purposes, as far as the show's concerned, they are dead. They're not going to be on anything except maybe the reunion and the finale. So we as a viewer don't get any more, speaking from fans' perspective, of Plasma's silly homosexuality theater kid nonsense. And if people were enjoying getting that every week, now they are grieving the fact that instead we get Maya blinking at the camera.
So let's go to Maya, because this is another thing. I talked about this a little bit on the show, but again, it went other places. I didn't really delve into this. But my big point, which I did make, was that, you know, there are people who are very angry. There are people who are stoked that Maya won, but there are people who are very angry that Maya won that lip sync for a number of reasons. And I've seen a lot of tweets about, you know, rules and wigs and shoes and all this stuff, right?
All made up.
Okay, and I'm going to give you your chance in a second. Because ultimately, my point was, I said this on the show, it's RuPaul's world. We just live in it. And whatever week she decides she's going to, you know, subscribe to whatever criteria she has for that week, that's the way it is. So go ahead. All made up. What do you think of this?
I hate that. Much like I said about Snatch Game last week, the show is less about being a talent show for the audience and for the sake of artistic talent, and more just how do I impress this single individual, RuPaul? I get that it's RuPaul's Drag Race, but if RuPaul wanted to have a quiet, private show that was just about pleasing her, I'm sure she would do so. It's not just about that, but we have to, as the audience, kind of endure that. And it's probably why I enjoy international seasons more, because I don't feel like the girls have to cater their sensibilities and their performances and everything else to the host of whatever show that is. They're just being good artists and good queer people and great fucking queens. And it's not muddied by who can brown nose and suck up to RuPaul's sensibilities the best. And I think similar to that, when people come up with this rule book of a lip sync, they say no taking off the wig, no taking off the shoes. Does your track record matter? All these things are just patterns that the audience has sort of gleaned from RuPaul's likes and dislikes and things that RuPaul said and not said. And similarly, I think that even the idea of a lip sync for your life is sort of revealing itself to not be a lip sync battle between two people on equal standing, but rather an opportunity for two people to perform simultaneously. And verbatim, Ru says, this is your last chance to impress me. It means, I guess, fuck your track record. But ultimately, I know RuPaul probably knows in his head who he wants to go home. So if you don't impress in that lip sync, which is different from beating your opponent, then you're going home.
Well, yeah, it's funny that you say that because I've seen this whole thing. Like, people know this is the rule, that is the rule. And for the most part, maybe you and other people have better memories about this stuff than I do. I'm going to come back to the wig thing in a second. But in terms of the shoes and other rules, I've never heard RuPaul say anything about rules specifically. I will say that there was, I remember, in the early days of Drag Race, they did some sort of like, it was in the off season. We're going to, you know, have your favorite queens, vote for your favorite queens or whatever. And they showed clips. And in the clip, they showed a clip of, what's her name?
Sasha Beebe.
Nope. The All-Stars 2 Stayed Too Long, season 5.
Roxy
Andrews doing the iconic wig beneath a wig reveal, and Michelle saying, don't get rid of the wig unless you have another wig underneath, which I think, if I remember correctly, they were saying it not as like this was an official canon rule, but almost like glibly, you know?
Yeah.
And people have taken that to be like, this is a hard and fast rule. This
God's
is,
word.
But I've never heard the edit. I will say, I know the part, like, who was the girl? She used to always take her clothes off in season 4. She
Milan. Was taking
Milan. So when Milan, I remember this, they would cut to RuPaul, a look of RuPaul being very critical. Like, she looked critical, but I don't think RuPaul's ever said, you took your shoes off, that's why I'm eliminating you. You did this. Except for drag is not a contact sport. It's the only time I've ever heard RuPaul speak from the bench, so to speak.
Sure.
I think you're right. I don't think there's any real rule.
Well, it's also similarly the rule that people have tried to establish when, say, Kennedy Davenport launches off the stage. And then they say, no, that should be against the rules. But then similarly, Honey Davenport does the same thing in the 6-way lip sync, and clearly Rue is not fucking living for her flailing around on the floor like that. So it's really ultimately, I think, up to your performance and whether or not the performance merits that kind of messiness.
Yes, I think you're right.
It doesn't have to be. If it's inherent and beneficial to the performance, then it's not messy. It's actually just passionate.
Yeah, you're right. So, like, if you contrast Milan and Maya, Milan was taking off things in desperation, whereas Maya seemed like she was doing it with intent. It was part of the performance. It was intended and thought out. You know, there was forethought.
Milan definitely would say that her stripping on stage was actually a very thought out artistic choice, and clearly people just weren't ready to accept that.
Yeah. And also, we have to remember, Milan paid the price for what a lot of queens were doing up to that point. This was a common thing on Drag Race. And for some reason, Milan did it, and that was the last time people did it.
Well, Milan survived, I think, 2 lip syncs doing it. And by the it was by the third time, she was a powerhouse lip syncer, probably still is. But I think they also just needed a soundbite that justified why she was going home on her lip sync, third lip sync.
But I think the soundbite was from another contestant. I don't think it was.
I believe it was Fifi.
Yeah. So how you guys have a memory for this, I don't know. Okay. So one thing that came up quite a bit on the episode was about how I want to have a AI voice saying that this show is not intended for past and present Drag Race contestants, that I don't make the show for drag queens, that because I want to be able to say mean things about them to their fucking faces or about them and not have to worry about them, you know, what their opinion is. And Jimmy came on. And this is the point illustrated. No, by the way, Jimmy doesn't listen to this fucking show. So Jimmy maybe will listen to this, but it's okay. That's the nature of coming on the show. This Jimmy, don't know if you heard this, Robert. You might have missed, you might have gone over your head. You may not have been paying attention. He said, now, by the way, this is a queen who kind of knows how to sew, has never taken a dance class, never taken an acting class. I still think is like a baby queen in a lot of eyes, you know, that she knows for a fact she'd win the whole show. Based on what? Based on what?
Their own self-assuredness, which I think is probably the number one character trait someone needs to win a talent competition.
I see what you're saying, but we have to have it to back it up. I was saying for sure, if you want to have the self-assurance, you're going to win. I'm not saying you need this to win, but what I'm saying, if you're going to have that sort of cock of the walk that you're going to win, you better be a fucking great seamstress and fashion designer, or have an eye for fashion. You have to be able to dance the house down mama boots, right? And I think you also, that's what I'm going to say right now. Do you agree with that? To have that sort of confidence.
I think that if you were to like think about it as like a video game RPG build, you mm-hmm. have to have like either a very, very, very well-rounded like out of 10, like 8s and 9s across the board, or you have to be like a 12 or a 13 in one stat and maybe a little underdeveloped in others.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what do you have? If he said, look at these videos of me and he's doing like he's that girl falling from the ceiling from on that lip sync, or if he's like showing me some fierce looks that he has, but and by the way, I want Jimmy to be on the show. I want Jimmy to win. But based on that statement, based on what are you so clearly the winner? Because you want to be?
Well, are you sure they were being entirely
dead ass? Yes, I really do. Maybe if Jimmy hears this, Jimmy can comment and say like, yeah, I was kidding. I didn't get the sense Jimmy was kidding. But yes.
Hmm.
And I was like, based on what? You've never taken a sewing class. She says she knows how to sew. She says that she knows she'd do well in design challenge because she does things at the last minute. She has an idea, a sketch of an idea for a snatch game. She hasn't done an acting class, an improv class. She doesn't perform enough to be like, here's like a reel of me, you know, crushing it on the dance floor, mama. I mean, what am I missing? Are there attributes that I think I'm missing to win this competition? And this, by the way, this is not speaking to how she is as a drag queen. I feel RuPaul's Drag Race as a competition show is very different from the real life world of whether you're a fierce drag queen. Ask Mayhem Miller. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, here's this perspective, and I could be off about this, but as the winner's pool expands at an alarming rate, we have a lot of different individual drag queens who do their own thing very successfully. Yeah. And ultimately, I think that if you're a drag queen looking to be on the show, or rather if I was, I would ask myself, what could I bring to the winner's circle? What would be a new archetype of a drag queen who has yet to be rewarded with that crown? And therefore, if Jimmy Anti believes that their drag and their persona and their talent is something not yet represented, then they should be confident in feeling like, yeah, there's room for me in that circle. I can achieve that.
Well, the one thing Jimmy says is Jimmy says that she's not ready. So I respect that. But it's just the confidence of being like, which maybe comes with her youth, is like, oh, I know I'll win. I think what the argument you're making is that to be successful on Drag Race, you have to be a jack of all trades and a master of one.
Or, really. Because, you know, Jinx can't dance the house down boots, mama, but they'll edit the lip sync to make it appear so.
But she can be a comedy queen.
And a singing queen and a lot of things.
So she's a master of one.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. I feel we covered a lot of topics here with Roberto Mata. Some of them all over the place. Sorry I didn't prep you, Robert, and give you a brief.
I take my prep daily. I don't need that kind of prep. It would be
are
nice.
Are you really on prep?
What? You are not?
No, you know what I was going to be on prep? It's funny that you say that. I did everything with my medical insurance to be on prep. Filled out the paperwork, met with the people, did all that. And then they told me something about it. There's some sort of like side effect or long-term thing. And I was like, ooh.
There are, obviously they haven't done like successful longitudinal studies with this. So who knows what's going to happen in 20 years from now. And some people do report gaining weight and some people do report losing some sex drive on it. But that's the same with like any psychotropic. Not that it's a psychotropic.
Maybe I'm on prep now and I don't know it. Maybe I was like, it's super the same with thin any medication, started prep.
The word is used. Who knows?
Where can people see you, Robert? Are you going to be, do you have any Instagram plugs or anything?
Well, you could see me at RAWB54. I wonder if my friends who surreptitiously videotaped and edited all those Traitors videos are going to be releasing an episode.
I saw like
soon.
The trailer for it.
Yeah, apparently people really liked it. And
yeah, I was really shocked you were wearing like a baseball jersey and jeans.
Shut the fuck up. unsurprisingly, you'll also be shocked to hear this. I'm something of a main character during the show. So if you have some moments, go check it out.
Really? I'm sure people are really surprised that you're a main character in a show called Traitors.
That was exactly the point of the show. So you might be curious to know what happens.
Was this planned to be a show? Was it supposed to be like a TikTok show or something? Or
I was told that there were maybe going to be some cameras around, and therefore I didn't, you know, put on or do anything that I think, you know, I certainly did not expect it to be a more or less a web series. I was just there with my
series
friends.
Of Next. Would you be on Next?
Would I be the one nexting, or would I be up to possibly get immediately chopped?
Oh, I don't think you would be immediately chopped.
Well, it depends. I'm brown.
Oh, that's true. I wish they would release the old episodes of Next. Why hasn't MTV done, like, you know, millennial TV? You know,
well, you know what they need to do is, instead of following up on Drag Race with some bullshit like Ridiculousness or some other nonsense that the gays aren't going to watch, they mm-hmm. should just put on the gay episodes of these TV shows that yeah. you know the gays at the bars would watch. Everyone 100%. Would rally around a fucking viewing party of Gay Next if it came on right after Drag Race.
Somebody was, my cousin called me today and goes, like, whatever happened to the dancing shows? Like, you know, like Soul Train and like all those different shows. I'm like, they should bring those gold. Back with like the TikTok dancers.
Do we need more TikTokers on television?
But look, I don't know. Okay, guys, you guys don't know this. We recorded for like an hour in between things, and Christian's being quiet right now, and he wants to say something. And I think the funniest thing to me is he can't say anything. And so
I'm trying to tell you guys to hurry the fuck up.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.